public school teacher in North Carolina, and people made fun of her. They said, them who can do, them who can't teach. So I said, I'll never do that. I'll never do it. And I now have a master's in education from Vanderbilt University. I would say, I'm not sure how that happened, but I know how it happened. It's like, I'm never going to the Peabody Hotel. That's the one where they've got the trained ducks that come in and go up the roof. Because if I were in the lobby, they'd have to take a right turn and get me. I mean, they'd have to, as much as I've said that.
Brains, we are having a little open conversation while I'm getting prepared to interview our amazing guest, Elizabeth Power. Okay, that's right. And she is coming from Tennessee. I love that Southern drawl. I love her attitude. I love what she brings to the table. I'm telling you, my list of guests, now, past, and future, is just off the chain. Ridiculously good. Because you know what? We're doing it. I want you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Okay? We need to build those numbers. You know, I'm not bringing you no junk. I'm bringing you straight good stuff. Anything that you want, anything you need, all you got to do is instant message me and voila, it is yours. And so with that, I'm going to introduce our guest today, Elizabeth Power. How are you, beautiful?
I'm doing great, darling. How are you doing?
I can't complain about nothing.
Can you? If we were any happier, we'd be twins.
Wow. So will you introduce yourself to my guests, because your repertoire and your personality and your twang just does it for me.
Oh, you're so funny. I'm Elizabeth Power. And if I were going to be a tradition, give you a traditional introduction, I would go back about 8 generations so that you would know that I know who I am.
Wow.
But let me give you a non-traditional introduction. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am so lucky. I get to walk around this earth and travel in different places and help people learn about how the things that happen to us change our behavior. And while it may sometimes be called a mental illness, many of times the things that we talk about being wrong with people is really just a result of something that happened to them.
Yeah, and you know what? Trauma is, I was at the film festival last night, the GI Film Festival, and I was talking to some military veterans. It seems like trauma is embedded in you, you know, and
you have
the skills to break that out. I want to go back a little bit, and I want my brains to kind of understand what's going on. Now, you suffer from multiple personality disorder.
No, baby. Wait. I do not suffer.
Okay.
Check. I do not suffer. And second of all, it's not really very disorderly, and I'm lucky if I can move to the edge of me.
Okay.
But that is not where I used to be. Where I used to be was an absolute village of upwards of 300, as best as I can figure. All different ages, all different ethnicities.
People.
Yeah, but you got to remember, they're not really people. They're just their selves. They're different perceptions. It's like standing on top of a diamond and looking at one facet and then turning around and looking at another facet. It's all the same diamond. It's all the same diamond.
I know. I got this strange look on my face because I just can't get it. Okay. And again, I'm speaking from a place of ignorance. So
that's, you know, all right.
Walk me through the process.
Sure.
Did you have different personalities? You
know, yes. I had some of those things, parts of me that I recognized as separate and perceived themselves as separate, were maybe just physical feelings like pain from a surgery. Some of them had ages, names, preferences, ice creams they liked and didn't like. It was the most difficult and the most fascinating time in my life, because it will warp and expand everything you think unless you choose to let it break you.
Wow. I mean, but how do you even recognize when you're going through all these metamorphoses of change in the
world? Girl, I had no idea. I had no idea. I had like 13 people die in 1 year, including my mama, 3 in 3 days. And I knew I had post-traumatic stress disorder. I'd been diagnosed with that about as soon as it hit the books. But I didn't know about this other. And then after all those people died, I started having some flashbacks about something that I had worked and worked and worked on until it was beat half to death and then twice over. And I went to see somebody, and 4th session, she said to me, every time you come, you talk about how you can't read numbers. I said, yeah, because I can, and it's really wrecked my life. She said, well, I think I know where you're stuck. I said, no, I've done flashcards, tutors, the whole nine, video, the whole nine yards. I just can't do it. There's no point. I can pay people to do numbers. She said, well, I had a mathematics and education and a master's in mathematics education. I think I know where you're stuck. And I thought, what's 65 more bucks? Therapy was cheap back then. And she walked me through it. And the next thing I knew, I'm sitting on the floor looking at two pieces of paper, one with a name that was a nickname I was called in childhood that she didn't know. And the other had a different year on it. And I said, I was very surprised. I said, you know, what does that mean? She says, well, it means you have some help. I said, okay, what does that mean? I was trained in total quality management. The five whys, I go for what does that mean? She said, well, it means that there are different parts of you that handle different situations very specifically. I said, okay, what does that mean? She says, well, it means that you must have had a lot of really difficult things happen in childhood when you're really, really young. I said, okay, what does that mean? She said, it means you have multiple personalities. So I'm like going, okay. And one of the things I used to be known for was helping people think about coping with change. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful. I'm so proud and so arrogant, I guess. My own model came right into my head. Feelings of change. The feelings are not the facts. A change feels crummy almost always, no matter what, whether it's good or bad change. The feelings are always the same unless you design the change. I didn't design this change. So I knew what I was feeling. And I just decided then and there, I made a commitment, all for one, one for all. I'm a community. Let's figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm. And so were you married? You have children? Who was going through this with you? I mean, you said you lost like 13 people and three within a matter of weeks. Who helped you walk through this journey?
A debt clinician. And the thing is, I realized, you know, I've had all this help all these years and I've had an exotic life and some of it hasn't been particularly, shall we say, savory, but here I am. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. I'm looking out the windshield.
Go on, girl.
And my glass is refillable. R-E-F-I-L-L-A-B-L-E.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so where did you go from there? Once you had this realization and you started this healing process and you're starting to really grab hold and really focus on what's going on, you changed your life in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I busted my life wide open in a good way. It was the hardest emotional work I've ever done because, you know, basically you have to grab a hold enough of whatever it was that happened that caused you to divide yourself. And you have to work that enough where it's reconciled. And at that point, something happens. I don't like the word integration, which every pale male psychiatrist has thought it's supposed to be called. I did. And I said, stale. It has not worked well in society, has it?
No.
So why would I want to do that? And, oh, yeah, I'm a child of the South. Oh, let's really get serious. No. And my family is major civil rights activists where I grew up. And then the other word people used was fusion. Okay, you might be old enough or you might not to remember those civil defense drills where you got under your desk and put your head between your knees.
Right.
And kissed you, you know what, my because a bomb might have hit.
Mm.
We now know better, but why would I want to choose fusion? The language didn't work. And so I thought about, okay, if I'm an organization in a body instead of an organization in a building, what skills do I need? And common values. I need a common goal. I need commitments to protect the whole, even if it's at the expense of one of the parts. I thought, you know, I mean, I grew up in the Episcopal Church. We believe in the Trinity.
Right.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If multiplicity, not disorder, but multiplicity is good enough for God, it's good enough for me.
Oh, now. Well, you took it, you know, you rode it like a bull right by the horns, and now you are a civil rights activist. Now, Brands, I want you to pay attention to this white woman right here, okay? Because she is standing on her truth, and, you know, if your feelings is hurt, click off now, because this is going down. And, you know, again, civil rights, we ain't talking about black, white, brown, red. We're talking about being civil, just being right about what's going on. Have y'all been paying attention to the news lately? Because the last thing folks are is civil. Elizabeth Powell, break it down to them. Tell them what they need to be focused on.
The day that you wake up and realize that you have people who are black, people who are white, people who are red, people who are yellow, people who are old, people who are young, gay men, straight men, lesbians, and straight women as part of your community. It's the minute, and your skin is the edge of that community. Mm. You get to thinking real seriously about all the different things there are to think about and how easy it is to judge somebody defective just because they're different.
Right.
And how even among, I mean, I'm now older. I'm therefore defective to a certain population of people. I'm not as desirable. The ideas I have may not be as marketable because I'm older. But the minute we judge somebody defective because of differences in origin, character, or physiology, is the minute that we don't want for them what we want for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the people of the book, whether it's the Quran or the Talmud or the Bible, all deal with the concept of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves in some way and fashion. And if I don't want for you what I want for me, then I'm not loving you the way I love myself. So it brings community living to a whole new elevation. The good news is that when bad things happen, whether it's, and for me, let me just clarify, my family moved a lot before I was two because of my dad's work. Post-World War II, back then, if you were a white man, you got a managerial job and you got promoted, you just had to have your bags packed, all I can say, all the time. Mm.
Wow.
And that's a sad form of privilege, and it had a price because it meant that my mother and I could not connect well enough because of the stresses on her.
Right. Right.
And I have a sister that's older that I realized it was safer I couldn't get away physically. So I got away psychologically or spiritually. I took a hike in my head and left my body behind. And that's the foundation. Let me tell you how this looks in normal life. You walk down the street and you know that you really can't look around a whole lot because people might misinterpret what your look says. And so you disconnect from your feelings so that you can present a safer flat face. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
I do that as a woman and as a person with physical disabilities that sometimes show. Mm-hmm. My friends of color do it because they are people of color. Neither one of us can change the condition that causes others to treat us as objects of fear and disgust.
Right.
Therefore, we become a group in and of ourselves that has to do that for ourselves first.
Right.
Paulo Freire says that it is the pedagogy of the oppressed. It's a great book. Man, it's one of the hardest reads ever. But he talks about people who experience themselves as oppressed by incivility of any sort are the only ones who can free themselves from that.
That's right.
Not by striking out at the other, but by changing the belief on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that's what I will tell people to do.
And that's what I tell people to do too. It's, you know, when they use the word, yeah, I'm going to say it. When they use the word nigga, or, you know, they say black bitch or whatever, is that the best you can come with?
Because
you behind the eight ball with me. Okay. I done already, you know.
Off my, like, you're way back on my radar now.
It's how you show up. It's the conversation. Mm-hmm. I make it a teachable moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. You call me a black bitch, yes, but I'm one with fangs and I bite.
Okay. I come from a long line of mean women, girl.
I have no problem with that. And I love everybody. But again, I'm not one to agree just to go for anything. If I don't like it and I don't agree with it, I don't mess with you. But along those same lines, I have a conversation with you and I try to absorb something that I didn't know before. Every day you learn something new. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this 5D, the future. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's heavy.
Man. It's essentially a visitation on the indigenous world, because indigenous world looks at the four elements, and some indigenous communities look at then what is in the center, and some go to seven and look at what is above and below. Mm-hmm. So when we look at it from five dimensions, we're getting a much rounder, much more holistic picture. If you imagine, instead of looking at this at the center of an atom from the outside, looking at it from the inside. And that gives you a sense of what it is. It helps us round our edges for people. It's not for everybody, because some people don't want to think this hard, and some people don't like to play with their brains and see what they can do. And some people forget that their brains are the most powerful tool they have, and that the blessing of neuroplasticity is that for every creepy, awful thing we've thought, we can plant a new thought, and it will take with 20 repetitions. Oh my goodness, there are videos of neural synapses being created.
Yes.
You just do that. If you take that one good moment and install it 20 times, you have really got the beginning of a great new habit. So you can balance the poop. I mean, I have a 50-gallon barrel right here. And I used to let it drag me down and drag me down and drag me down. And then I started filling the other side up. And now there, I actually have more on the positive than I do on that bucket. I've been patting it long enough. It's turned into compost, a whole lot lighter.
Fixed
to go in the garden.
I know. Now, that's what I want to talk about now. You and that garden. I love that hat and those overalls. Tell us about the joy that you find in the garden. And what
You know, anybody who was doing as much counseling as I did for a while had to journal. Journaling was just a requirement. I am so tired of journaling. If I ever write another journal, it will be too soon.
You got to write. So I decided,
I do. I'm working on a couple. I thought, you know, how can I track the passage of time and assign meaning to it? I'm much more indigenous, or though my skin belies it, Afrocentric in my thinking. Western values don't do much if you think about them. Competition and coercion, as opposed to collaboration and community. Seriously, white men.
Preach.
So I began to realize that the Hawaiian concept of malama aina, caring for the land because the land cares for you, that as a person who is probably never going to get married, that I could have a relationship with my land where I feed it and it feeds me. And it's a cyclical whole thing, because it's looking at all of the environment for the land and the birds, and I love my birds and the butterflies and all the bugs and the lizards and the food. I mean, this morning I went out before I went to the gym and I picked about a quart of beans near the freezer. And I've got three tomatoes that are coming on, and I've got winter turnips and cabbage and lettuce. I mean, the thing is, this is the land giving to me from its love for me. And I harvested a good 200 pounds of sweet potatoes this year.
Wow. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to ship you this little sweet squirrel that I have in my backyard.
No. His cousins are already here. You keep him.
Okay.
In the other direction.
A silver squirrel, but I am mad at him. I had strawberries out there, lettuce, basil. He had him a fine salad. Okay. Little bite marks and everything.
But I've learned how to deal with them to some extent without having to buy bottles of fox urine. No, we ain't putting no fox urine out, because you know that stuff smells. If you go to the pet store and buy one of those cans of compressed air with a motion sensor in it, and wait till you see a strawberry getting ripe and put it and set it so it'll go off when he passes in front of it. They stay away for a while. You are. It's grossly, vastly entertaining and non-lethal.
You say vastly entertaining. Okay, I'm gonna set the surveillance cameras that we have outside to watch it. I mean, because I love all the animals. The spiders, I got tons of lizards. Oh, I don't bother any of them. But when he's messing with my strawberries, I'm trying to go out there.
He's in dangerous territory.
You're also a fantastic baker. Give us one of your recipes for success in baking a cake. Because, you know, I've got some friends that are now, you know, vegan, and they don't use dairy products, but they use this applesauce, and it's just as good. But there's I'm sorry, I'm working on it, but there ain't nothing like some fat and cholesterol. Girl,
I tell you what.
It's milk and some eggs. I need all that in mind.
Bacon is a food group all its own, but we're not going to go there. I'm going to be good. What I was making when you and I first called was a 4-day coconut cake. And that's, you make the cake and the batter itself, and this is Paula Deen's recipe with a little adaptation, is 3 eggs.
Oh, sweet Paula Deen.
Yeah.
Did you ever remember herself?
Well, my great aunt Floyd made it, but I found the recipe on Paula Deen's. And when my great aunt Floyd made it and brought it to family reunions, it had its own special spot, and you did not move, you did not touch the spot where Aunt Floyd's coconut cake went. So when she passed, the next year we went to family reunion, there was a spot where her coconut cake rested, and there was a fight over putting something in, just a fight, an absolute fight. It was funny. So, but basically, it's a really eggy, rich batter that you use coconut milk in and whole milk, and then you make 3 layers. And then in between those layers, when you get those layers out and cooled and on the cooling rack, then you make a filling out of sugar and coconut milk and shredded coconut. Mm. And you take the bottom one, you poke holes in it, and you ice it with that. And then you put the second layer on, poke holes in it, and ice it generously with that filling. Your mouth is watering, isn't it? Yes. And you do the same thing to the top. Now, the deal is you want to let the cake sit for about 4 days so all that filling can soak down in. But you can ice it the same day you make it. I like to refrigerate it because then the filling crusts up and it's easier to ice. And then I bring it out, ice it, and put it back in. The icing is, I forgot, you put sour cream in the filling too. So the icing is a pound of cream cheese, 2 cups of confectioner's sugar, cream of coconut, and shredded coconut. And you slather that on the outside. So if you let it sit in there long enough so that it crusts up, the filling crusts up, and then ice it and put it back in the refrigerator covered for 4 days, as long as you can stand it's the real line. It ain't nothing but righteous. It'll make you lie down and be all in.
He's saying it. Beg for righteous. Relief. Love it. I love it. Talk about righteous. Tell us about your books. What's inside the books?
Oh, my goodness.
Written, all that great stuff, because people need to buy that.
Well, the first one I wrote was for people with multiple personalities, or what's now, it's now called dissociative identity disorder.
Thank you for my gifts.
You're so welcome, and for mine also. And it was, I sold about 45,000 copies of it at its height. Then there's a sociology to medicine, and as that diagnosis fell in usage, so did market sales. That's okay. Everything's got a life. I did a companion to that that still moves in different circles. It's called God in Our Midst. It's not Christian, it's spirituality. It's about looking at what. I kept getting people calling me saying, I'm so tired of being told I'm a demon. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be no Christian writer. And I finally broke down and wrote a text, but it's hardly Christian in some ways. Then over the years, I've authored different articles, but the one I wrote about 8 or 9 years ago was called How to Get Happier and Why You Should Try To. And it's a funny look at growing up dedicated to being miserable, which is what I did. And how there are different analogies for how you can dig, you know, how you can dig out of your own big old unhappy hole. And what it does when you do, how that absolutely transforms your life and the life of everyone around you. This is a lot of fun. It's a fun little book. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I read some of it. I didn't get to read all of it, but also the questionnaire that you sent me. Share that with my brains.
Oh, yeah. See, this is so cool. Our press releases are just now hitting the wires. We just launched the Trauma Informed Academy. What I do is I run around the world helping people learn about how to be trauma informed and trauma responsive. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years ago, people said, we want to read your stuff. We want to learn your content. Not, you know, the licensed model that somebody else is that you teach is really good, but we want to hear your stuff. And so to be fair to that, I began to put my own stuff together in the Trauma Informed Academy, which is over 150 lessons, a bunch of videos, and there's more coming, that we make available online. And the cool thing about that is that it's utterly non-pathologizing. Like that questionnaire I sent you, that's one of the questionnaires in the trauma responsive system. Which is based on indigenous and Afrocentric values.
Right. And, you know, again, it's how we show up in the world, how we respond to trauma.
Yeah.
But sometimes people don't even realize that they are traumatized.
No. We just get taught we're headstrong or we're stubborn or we don't have good judgment. They're all the or mean. Yeah. I mean, let me give you a statistic that blows me away. With the development of medication that would affect the symptoms of schizophrenia, you notice how carefully I said that?
Right.
There was a dramatic increase in the number of African American men, black men of any sort, diagnosed with schizophrenia.
My nephew.
Now, I don't mean to be tacky.
At 8 years old.
Yeah, you don't have.
Out of institutions, and now he's incarcerated. And they say he had ADHD, multiple personality, all of this kind of stuff. At 8 years old. Really?
No, I don't think so. But you know what? That's the best that system can do. I mean, let's just get serious. If you have generational inheritance in your DNA of slavery or of oppression or of being the oppressor, look at that. Yay. There you go. Look at, you know, if you have that.
With the brain, that's why we have to.
Okay, we are brains, ladies. I got I just got one dribbling out right there, but it's probably invisible to you. But if you think about it, you know, that carries on in our DNA. There's studies that show that the history of what's happened to our ancestors is written in our DNA. It can express, it cannot express, but it's there. The sins of the fathers really are visited on them for the children for seven generations, maybe 21.
Wow.
So here we have that. And you think about a generation of your ancestors being taken from Africa, being sold into slavery, being beaten and misused, being treated like animals, forced sex, rape over and over again, children being invisible, being continuously made invisible, even until now. What toll does that take on the sense of self that's meant to have the same dignity and the same opportunity and the same respect and the same challenges that everybody else does, not more? And the same is true for my family. Right. And I'm sure somebody in my family owns slaves. And that's a horrifying thing to say. It makes my belly curl.
Right.
But I'm sure somebody probably did. And I also know that my DNA shows that I'm 20 some odd percent West African. Mm-hmm. Sure came out pink, but we're not going to go there.
That's all right.
So you think about that. So why wouldn't every person of color feel terror when they see somebody walking down the street towards them? Because for generations, if you look at me, I can have you lynched or hung without any defense. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't somebody be paranoid? Why wouldn't you be unable to form the kind of relationships other people would?
You know, but what gets me is I'm not going to be that black angry woman. That's not how I'm showing up, okay?
No. That's it.
And it's being strategic, and it's also teaching your kids a sense of self-worth. And I'm just wondering something, and I'm going to ask this question.
Oh, I love it.
Why is this white privilege? Why is it only white folks that got privilege after all this time? Native Americans? Why is it because your skin is white? And it's not just here in the United States. It's all over.
It's everywhere. Power.
Huh?
And it's I'm gonna throw something really stinky in the punch bowl. People of color have privilege as well, but it's a different kind of privilege. Mm-hmm. Within your own community, there is privilege, I'm sure, and entitlement at higher levels of wealth and economics.
Well, and color lines too.
And okay. Color lines too.
And look, girl, please, let me tell you, the light skin and the good hair, all that old bull crap, it ain't happening like that. You throw you on a hair option, because I'm telling you, it's big, kinky, and nappy up under this one right here. I keep it 100. And it is, you know, color differentiation. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this one story real quick. I go over to the African restaurant. They're having a holiday. They look at me and they tell me, no black Americans in here today. What?
What?
No black Americans.
Black Americans in here.
It's African holiday. Well, my heritage is really Native American. That's where my family comes from. And they took on the identity of being Negroes and being black so that they could stay in Andalusia, Alabama, and keep the land and, you know, stay in sacred ground. But I looked at her crazy. And I'm saying to myself, no black Americans. So there's a deep divide. I was doing the census.
Yes.
I said, you know what? I said,
oh, God.
I need you to mark this box because the census is coming up, Brains. Y'all better pay attention. I need you to mark this box so that we can get funding in the community and resources and all that. They say there's no box that says African. I said, well, just, you know, black Americans. Oh, no.
But we're not black.
We are not black.
No.
Black Americans, we are African. And I'm like, okay, when it comes to resources and, immigration rights and all of these services, you don't have a problem checking the box then. And I say that not to cause no conflict, but to keep it 100. If you're going to be something, then you need to be it all the time. You can't be it just when it's convenient for you.
That's right.
People, white people, black people, green people, whatever.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Just when it's convenient, you know? I just don't understand it. I don't understand. There's still trauma. There's a lot of trauma and there's a lot of shame.
But if you don't want to think about it, if you don't want to think about the trauma and say, what is there in the, you know, you've got the rearview mirror and the windshield. What's in my windshield? What's in my rearview mirror? And where do I really want to look? I want to pay attention to it because I don't want it sneaking up on me.
Right.
But if I spend all my time looking there, I'm going to totally miss what's in front of me. Totally miss what's in front of me.
Wow.
So I think it makes sense why there's so many. Why people of color have got bumped up in diagnosis, but I also think it's bull, because I think it's I think it's a complete and total misinterpretation of the natural consequences of what's happened to people of color for generations. That's carried into the now that folks aren't challenging, saying, "Whoa, wow, yeah, that." I bet the reason I don't feel comfortable in front of crowds is because of what's happened to my people in the past. I can do something different with it.
Well, tell me what you're doing different really quickly in the corporate space, because you were with corporations and you are really trying to kick it up a notch with this relationship capital and kindness and all this. Tell us about the work that you're doing there.
Well, I do a lot of different work. I work as a facilitator in organizational change, doing trainings and consultings, and that's through my parent company, ePower and Associates. You can find me at ePower, ePower and Associates there. And we take trauma-informed customer service and trauma-responsive human resources into the workplace for folks. Wow. So that they can, I mean, most companies are afraid of anything that smacks of what's called mental illness. Oh, and yeah. They think, you know, PTSD, oh, we got to be scared of him. She might do something, you know. And they miss the fact that over 12 million prescriptions were written for something in the form of mental health care last year. Mm-hmm. And one in four of us has a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at that, if you look at how the things that overwhelm people so badly that their functioning changes beginning from birth on, and these things stack up and your development kind of stalls until things get cleared up. It's like being a big piece of Swiss cheese. And as you fill in the holes, you end up with more self-capacity and more ability to function. At that point, think about the impact on human capital in the workplace. Not because people are, quote, mentally ill, close quote, but because their developmental capacity has been stalled out because of what happened to them. We teach fundamentally some of the same skills as emotional intelligence teaches. And that's the big bomb in the workplace right now. Because if you're self-aware, you can regulate yourself, you've got relationship skills, you've got social skills, and you can manage empathy and decision-making, you're going to be a winner in the workplace, whether mm-hmm. you're self-employed or working for somebody else. Those are also the skills that represent higher levels of positive mental health. So we're teaching that online, webinars. We've got a great coaching program going where I'm coaching people one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I'm just so lucky.
Yes, you are.
Then I'm out in outer space.
I'm so unlucky that I'm not that close to come over and have some cake and some tea, because, girl, we would be sitting there talking. We'd be out in that garden. I'm coming to Tennessee. That's one of the places.
As long as I got a biscuit, you got half.
Yeah, I've never been down south. I've got to come down there and check it out. You are awesome sauce, Elizabeth Power. Yes, you are. And you keep
back at your girlfriend.
So tell my friends how to get in contact with you, how to purchase your books, and how to stay informed and level up your game, brains.
Uh-huh. You can level up easy. You can get in touch with me, Elizabeth. I'm sorry, I'm having one this morning. Elizabeth at TIATRS. That's Trauma Informed Academy Trauma Responsive System. Elizabeth at TIATRS.com. Or ePower at ePowerAndAssociates.com, all spelled out. I was thinking the longest name in the world when I could 30 years ago when I named it.
We're going to put it down at the bottom in the closed caption. We are going to play this over and over and over again till you get it, brains. We ain't trying to cause no controversy. Okay? No. We're trying to tell you how a T.I. is.
Blessings on all y'all, and may you have the best week ever.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Brains, I told you, help me raise the relationship capital and the visibility of all the shows. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit that subscribe button. Okay. Pour into this. Make the investment in yourself. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Power.
Thank you
so
much.
Come on back to the edge, because, girl, we could talk 2-3 more shows easy.
Girl, we can. I got my suction grip shoes on. Just going to keep them there like a fly.
I love you.
You take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, brains.